Transform your life today. Welcome to Super Coach with Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Our topic for today is Desire Marks the Path. And the number to call if you want to have coaching on having what you want in any area of your life are 866-254-1579, toll-free in the United States and Canada. That's 866-254-1579. Or from outside the United States, you can reach the show by dialing 001-760-918-4300. And as always, I'd like to sort of set the table for the show by talking a little bit about our topic for the today. And desire is, I believe, one of the most misunderstood forces in the universe. And you've probably heard the expression that desire is the root of all suffering. It's one of the Four Noble Truths of the Buddha. Though there are much more accurate translations, one of which is that misunderstood desire is the root of all suffering. And the other that I got from a Buddhist comparative Buddhism professor at the University of Australia, as he said, a more accurate translation would be craving is the root of all suffering. And that made sense to me when I heard that. If you think about it, I've never known wanting to hurt, but craving hurts. In other words, when I want something and it feels like my life will be incomplete without it, well, that's painful because I then have to be unhappy until I get it. And if I never get it, if it's something that can't be gotten, then I have to be unhappy or at least somewhat unhappy for the rest of my life. Well, sure, that sounds like the root of all suffering. Simple desire, that simple wanting that comes from the heart and from the spirit, that just guides us. That marks the path, I think, the path that our soul wants to take. I don't really know much about souls, but it seems to me that if they had the path, desire would mark that path. And if you ask yourself, well, what do I want then? What do I desire? You'll find a range of things will probably come up for you. And so what I want to just lay out a distinction before we go to the phones. And when we go to the phones, again, the numbers to call, 866-254-1579, or from outside the U.S., 001-760-918-4300. So the first kind of desire or apparent desire that comes up is really a should. And a should is, it's a desire which you sort of want, but only because you know at some level that you're supposed to, because it'd be good for you. And the problem with a should is that it's inherently uninspired. And so you need continual motivation in order to pursue it, because you don't really want it. You just sort of think you should want it. A second thing that sometimes comes up when people ask themselves what they want to create, what do I desire, is a fantasy. Now, a fantasy is something that sounds fantastic, but in reality, you'd be extremely unlikely to enjoy it. So fantasy is sort of, it's an escape mechanism. It's one of the ways that we relieve our stress or our boredom or whatever way our insecure thinking is currently manifesting itself. But for the most part, acting on a fantasy is a waste of time and energy, because if we really got it, God, it would be awful. Most people never get past the first reel. The first reel of a fantasy movie always looks great. But if you run that movie through to the end, it just never works out that way. So the third kind of apparent desire is a whim. And a whim is a momentary want. It's a momentary desire, and it's generally triggered by something outside you, some external stimulus or internal mood. And occasionally, a whim can be a useful clue about the kind of thing you might like doing, being, and having. There's not much motive energy there. There's not much genuine motivation in a whim. So when I talk about desire in this show, when I say desire marks the path, I'm talking about your wanting. Not a craving, not needing, just a want, something which you're drawn towards and you'd welcome into your life. Because that kind of simple desire, if you learn to listen to it, you learn to follow it, you even surrender to it, it will guide you to a life more wonderful than you've probably ever imagined. So a bit later in the show, I'm going to talk more about how you know whether you're following your authentic desires or if you're caught up in your shoulds and fantasies and whims. But in the meantime, let's begin in Oceanside, California with Lynn. Lynn, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi. Um, I wanted to call a, it'll be worldwide, actually, show to be on older people singing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm horrified of singing in front of audiences. But yet my whole family tells me, and I feel like I could probably win the thing, that I'm really talented that way. But I'm really, really afraid, and I don't know what I should do about it.
Well, so let me ask what may seem an obvious question, and it may not. I'm making this up, but bear with me. This will make sense in a minute, I think. Let's say that I was really, really good at pumpkin picking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I might be able to enter a pumpkin picking competition and win it. But so what if I don't want to be a pumpkin picker? So the question is, like, if you're terrified of singing, why would you want to win a competition that would just make people want you to sing in front of audiences more?
At Christmas, was it Christmas or New Year's? They had karaoke, and I've been always too scared to do karaoke. And I got up in front of whole family, which was like 45, 50 people, and everybody dropped what they were doing. And I mean, the cameras came out, and it was surprising. And I wasn't even using my own voice.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. And I realized that once I can get past that little thing that I'm supposed to be getting past, that I'll be able to do it. And I really want to do this because this is an avenue into way more of what I really am, of who I am. It's who I am my whole life. I spent half a day singing and then most of the night singing every day of my life as a child growing up.
What's your favorite song?
Let's see. There's so many of them. Broken Road's a good one.
All right. Give me a few bars.
No.
Come on. I want to know what we're talking about here.
No.
Nope. See, here's the thing, Lindsay. I respect people's wanting.
Uh-huh.
Right? I understand that fear doesn't mean you can't do something. It doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. It's just a thing that comes up when we get a scary thought in our head.
Uh-huh.
So I don't think that the fear is significant one way or another. Like, if you want to do it, but you're really scared, well, then you'll push through the fear.
Yeah.
If you don't really want to do it, then the fear is as good a reason as any not to.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't waste any time at all on the fear. I would just simply kind of look at it and go, well, do I want to do this? And if you do, and you'll do as well as you do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like it, chances are you'll do more of it and you'll get better at it because that's the way things work.
Yeah.
You know, what if it really was that simple?
I know.
Because it is, by the way. So let me ask you, do you want to sign up for the competition?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I tried to get it on the computer and it was blocked off, but it was blocked off for Australia.
Okay. So here's a little truth about life that I've learned. You might want to turn down the radio on your end. I think it's feeding back on us. But here's the thing is if you can and you want to, you probably will.
Yep.
So I look forward to hearing back from you and hearing how it goes.
Thank you for helping me.
You're very welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, do you hear that delight in her voice at the end? That's the delight when we get really simple and clean and just decide that it's okay to follow our wanting and that it doesn't have to work. Understand, I didn't say that because I think it's part of her destiny that she wins. When I say desire marks the path, I don't mean that because you want something, it's going to work out the way you think it is. I mean that if you want something, you're going to experience so much joy and ease moving forward that it will take you to the next place in your life. And then if you stay with your wanting instead of whatever path you thought you were supposed to be on, it will show you the next step and the next and the next. Let's go to Melbourne, Florida. Let's speak with Lara. Lara, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, You're on Super Coach with Michael Neal. What can I do for you?
Oh, my goodness. It's just a pleasure to be talking with you. I can't believe I'm on the air right now. Well, you know, there's so many things that I would like to ask you, because you're always, like, so good at, you know, the answers that you give everybody. But basically, one of the things that maybe I can ask you is that I'm going through the process of a divorce, and I actually made the decision, you know, to end the relationship. Mm-hmm. But after, you know, it's about 7 or 8 months, I feel like sometimes I'm, like, stuck thinking, you know, how can you just break it between two people after so long? Because my desire is just to have a good relationship for the children and hopefully be friends. But right. Sometimes I don't know if that's even possible. I don't know if you...
It's an interesting question because it's actually whether or not it's possible is not as relevant as people think.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is because there's no way that we really can ever know what's possible.
Okay.
So all we can do is sort of play the odds. You know, we can say, well, the statistics show that 23% of divorced couples are able to get along, but 77% aren't. I mean, I don't know what the stats are, but, you know, that's the best we can do. And we don't live in a world of statistics. We live our lives with real people. And it's always possible that two people will find a way to peacefully coexist. I mean, that's just the nature of the planet.
Yeah.
So
I have so much pressure of everybody thinking, oh, if you get along, you're going to get back together, and then it's going to be horrible again.
Well, but Laura, hang on. Do you want to get back together?
No, but...
Okay, so hang on. Stay with me.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to get together, back together, why do you think that you would, even if your friends are worried about it?
Because I feel like sometimes we're stuck. Like, you know, he's actually moved on. He's already dating other people.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like he needs me, like, there to kind of, like, just be there. And I feel sometimes obligated to be there. And then we have children, too. Sometimes.
Okay, so let's do some separating out. Okay, so one feeling that you've talked about is that sense of obligation.
Yes.
Okay, that's not desire. Right, that's a should.
Mm-hmm.
So that isn't your wisdom speaking. That isn't your soul unfolding. That's just some insecure thinking.
Okay.
Now, you can do what you do about it. I'm not saying you shouldn't or you should do what you think you should do. But just understand that's not your wisdom speaking to you. So what I've heard is that there's a genuine desire to get along.
Yes.
There's a real clarity that you don't want to get back into this relationship. And then there's also some insecure obligation should thinking about how it's supposed to look for the best for the children.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what if, as best you can, you just stayed with the clean knowing and desire about what you do and don't want, and you just followed it?
Okay.
Because what makes it seem difficult is that if I take step one, I have to take step two.
Exactly.
In other words, if I don't spit on you when you say hello, then I have to go to bed with you. Now, I'm not aware of dating working that way. At least it didn't when I was dating, you know?
Yeah, but I think he has that in his mind, too. And that's sometimes how it comes across. Like, if we're not fighting or we are not in a bad place, then we can fall into the other thing really quickly. And I don't want that.
Well,
and I don't think he wants it either.
Right. And I think it's really about having a little bit more trust in your own wisdom. You don't have to trust his wisdom. Just trust yours.
Mm-hmm.
That you are, and I can tell just from speaking with you, you're not so wrapped up in your insecurities. You're not so wrapped up in the fears. You're not so wrapped up in the neediness that
really?
You're really, Laura. I've talked to a fair number of people. I'm not saying you don't go there. We all go there.
Yeah.
But
okay.
you find your bearings quicker.
Mm-hmm.
And if you stay with that part of you as best you can, is all you need to do. Stay with the clean knowing of what you do and don't want. You'll navigate your way through this beautifully.
Perfect, perfect. You could have put it any better. That's really good. I appreciate it.
Because it's good to hear it from some other point
and not doubt yourself. So
yeah. Yeah,
I really thank you.
You're very, very welcome. Do you know, that's the thing is that very often the reason what I say sounds really good to the people I say it to, and it doesn't always to people listening. I get that you may be sitting at home right now disagreeing with me like crazy, but I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to Laura. And very often what it feels to me like I'm doing is I'm just making your wisdom louder. I'm just amplifying what you already know inside and making it a little bit easier for you to hear. Let's go to Montreal. Let's speak with Jamie. Jamie, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, Michael. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Well, that's what I need. I need my wisdom to speak a little louder right now. I've been feeling a little neurotic these days. I just graduated from coaching school in December, and I want to make a move. And I've been writing my 5-year vision for myself, where I see myself, and it's really inspired me to, you know, take action. And where I see myself, my dream has been to move to the West Coast of Canada. Mm-hmm. So this is what I've been working on, and I seem to have manifest the same day job that I have now in Vancouver. I found a roommate, a really affordable place close to the beach where I want to live, and I'm really, really scared. And one of the things that's come up is, and this is going to sound really nutty, but since all the earthquakes have happened, I am so scared to move. And my friends are calling me and telling me, don't move to the West Coast, don't move to the West Coast. And I'm thinking, is this a sign? Is this? And it really makes me feel frazzled. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, the one thing that I know is that when somebody's questioning mind is spinning that fast,
it's
not so much that your wisdom's not talking loud, it's that you can't hear it over the noise, you know, of the fan.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so, really, when you get quiet, quieter, which happens in a, you know, can happen in any moment. Do you still have that desire to move?
I'm always thinking about it.
That's a whole different, well, it's a great answer to a different question. You know what I mean? See, it's really simple. Like if I tell you, do you want, if I asked you, do you want world peace?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want me to drive a nail through your foot?
No.
Okay. See, yes and no aren't that hard. Like, our real desires are really easy to mark out.
Okay.
So do you want to move to the West Coast?
Not yet.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what gets in the way is our sort of societal macho attitudes around fear.
Okay.
Because we think if there's a fear, either that it means we shouldn't or that it means we should.
Yeah, yeah.
When in fact, all fear means is I'm thinking some scary thoughts, and when I think them, I feel scared.
Okay.
And our innate wisdom, our innate desire, the intelligence of the universe that works through us, however you think about it, it's always there and you know. It's always clear, one way or another.
Okay.
As clear as you just were right there.
Mm. So I guess then just following that will lead me to...
Yeah, and if you stay... And the trick is to stay with it rather than stay with what it said a minute ago.
Just, I don't get that. Sorry.
So it may be that when you sit with that not now for a few days, whatever it was that made now not the right time will clear.
Okay, okay.
And so you want to stay with checking in with your wisdom and your wanting rather than staying with the answer that it gave you.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. That will lead to something else. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Awesome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael.
Bye. You know, that's actually, it's the easiest mistake to make. And it's, I sometimes describe it when scripture becomes scripting. When we have a real insight from our own wisdom, and then we start following that insight and living our lives according to that, instead of staying in that place where the insight came. And it's a subtle distinction, but it makes a huge difference. Let's go to Atlanta, Georgia, and let's speak with Shay. Shay, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, thank you for taking my call, Michael.
You're welcome.
I'm feeling very stuck in a holding pattern. I had a long career as a speaker, a salesperson, and in training. But then I lost my voice, my ability to speak, which ended up in a lawsuit. I've now had to take a job where there are no speaking demands, and I absolutely hate it. I desire to become an entrepreneur and coach people to overcome obstacles and things like that. But I don't know how to get out of this stuck pattern or the timing to know when to take that leap, because I'm trying to modify a mortgage also, and
Let me back up a little. Let me just check one thing. So when you say you lost your voice, you mean you literally lost your voice?
Literally lost my voice.
Okay, that's great. I was just wondering if that was a metaphor. That's fine.
No.
This may sound ridiculous. You've got it back now?
I have it back after lots of speech therapy.
Okay, great. No. I just wanted to clarify that in my own head. It really doesn't help you any, but it helps me. So here's my...
Go ahead, back. I'm using sign language when it does go away. That's
sure.
Non-communication. But
so here's my question. The first question that comes to me is, I get that you've got a sense of the direction you want to move in, which is towards something more entrepreneurial, towards helping people overcome adversity. At the moment, is there anything that you're aware of wanting to do to move in that direction that you're not doing?
I'm not buying a vehicle to make my coaching services mobile.
Well, that is interesting. I mean, I'm not buttering toast right now, but I'm not sure that has anything to do with my question. What is it? Is there anything that you want to do to move forward that you're not doing? See, like buying a car might be a great idea. But that's different. I'm looking for, like, well, there's this guy and I really want to talk to him about it. Or, you know, I've really wanted to announce it to this group, but I just haven't felt like it's time yet. Or, you know, I really wanted to arrange actually like a little public talk about it, but I'm terrified of getting back up on stage. You know, is there anything you're aware of wanting to do that you're not
doing? I want
to
quit this job.
Okay. Great. So is that... And again, it's going to be difficult to know, but is that an escape fantasy or is that an authentic wanting?
It is a craving, a pure craving. I cringe when I have to even think about coming.
Okay,
so
again,
that's
beautiful. But so that craving lets us know that that's not your wisdom speaking. Because a pure want, just our desire, it doesn't have an attachment to it actually anything happening. We can want stuff that we're never going to get and feel wonderful about it. Whereas a craving, if we don't get it, we feel worse and worse and worse. So craving is actually like how our brain tries to motivate us to change. So we develop this, if I don't change this, I'll feel so bad that that's going to overcome my fear of changing it. And it's this weird psychology game that we play in our own heads. It doesn't really help, but I don't know of any way of not doing it. So here's the question. Can you stay with us over the break?
Yes.
Then here's what I'd like you to do over the break. I'd like you to get as quiet as you can get. And I'd like you to just stay in that question of, is there anything that I just want? Anything? And it can be as simple as I want a cup of coffee, or it can be a lot deeper than that. But it's not a craving. It's not a should, like it would be really good for me too. It's just a simple, authentic want. And we're going to come back and talk about it after the break. If you're on hold, we're going to try and get to you. Carol, you are next in the queue. If you want to try and get in the second half of the show, the number is to call 866-254-1579, toll free, in the United States and Canada. If you like the kind of things we talk about on the show, check us out at supercoach.com or follow me on Twitter at Michael_Neal. We'll be right back after this break.
Real strategies for real change. This is Supercoach with Michael Neal.
We are back and we're talking about getting clear about your authentic desires, your simple wants. And we're talking with Shay in Atlanta. Shay, what came up for you during the break when you just really got quiet and just looked at the sort of simple wants?
Time, freedom.
Time, freedom?
Yes.
Cool.
I feel like if I just have time and I'm not working this 9-to-5, I can do what I want to do and maybe get into some of my desires. But this rigid schedule is a lot for me. I'm creative in the morning, but I'm on someone else's clock.
Yeah. So do you notice that when you say that there's a sense of just release about it? Time,
yeah.
Freedom. See, that feeling, it's not a craving, though it could turn into one, but that simple feeling of just like, ah, that's what desire feels like. Just it's really simple, just a sense of direction. Okay, that's the direction I want to move in. I want to move in the direction of time freedom.
Okay.
So is there anything that occurs to you? And it's fine if there's not, because once you know that's the direction you want to move in, and if you keep listening, the next desire will present itself. The next sort of guideline, the guidepost will present itself. But is there anything that occurs to you knowing that that's the direction you want to move in as a next step?
Money. I think okay. That if I have the time and freedom, then I can create money.
Okay.
More than I'm making now.
But so, sort of what's between you? What would be the next step to get from where you are to having more time freedom?
Resignation from the job.
Well, sure. Look, I mean, that may be. Do you want to? I know you've said I want to quit, but in that sort of craving way. But given the realities of quitting, this is how you separate a fantasy from a desire. Okay, because the fantasy would say, "Oh, it'll be great. I won't have to go in. I won't have to deal with these people anymore. I'll have all this time." Reality says, "Great. I won't have to go in anymore. I won't have to deal with these people. I'll have all this time, but I'll have to find another way to make money." So given the reality, is that something you want to do right now?
I need to pay stuff for the mortgage so I can keep my home. So
okay.
I guess it's not
right. And
what
again, well, but see, if you stay, and we're obviously not going to get through this whole thing in one chat, but the thing that I'd love for you to take away from it is just to notice the difference between that sort of, I got to do this and I ought to do this and everything would be better if I just did this. And the reality of knowing where you want to go and being open to the sort of next bit of guidance about what to do to get there, as opposed to the sort of all or nothing, I've got to make this happen now or it's never going to happen feeling, which we all get. But it's actually a sign, that sense of urgency, that's actually a sign that our thinking's off. Because unless there's a train, yeah, unless there's a train that's literal, not like an imaginary train, like a literal train that's about to hit you, life just isn't that urgent.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much, Shay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
You know, that's just a great thing to remember is that the more urgent something seems, do a reality check if you need somebody else to do it with you. But the more urgent it seems, the more that just lets you know, oh, my thinking's off. My thinking's off. Because, like I say, life's just not that urgent. Let's go to Ontario and let's speak with Carol. Carol, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, Michael. Thanks so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just love you and your show. Should I say you have this something magically practical about your advice and your thought process and simpling things down for us who just need maybe that one aha moment. So thanks. I love listening to you.
Oh, I love that. Magically practical. I'm going to steal that. Thank you.
You please do.
What's on your mind?
Well, I'm hoping you can solve years and years of probably trauma. I'm not sure in one show. I just want to get your perspective on this and maybe you can give me something
sure
to think about. My desire, of course, it's eluded me most of my life, and it's usually out of fear. And unfortunately, I'm 48, and I'm coming to the conclusion that it's probably not going to happen, and my life will seem excruciatingly empty without it. And how do you, sorry if I start crying, how does someone make their life feel meaningful with a thought that, like, my desire is to be loved, and I've had this hard time throughout my life finding that because of a lot of trauma. And so I have a discomfort with intimacy, and a lot of people wouldn't know it because I have a sales background, believe it or not.
Let me just check something, Carol. Are you 48 and a half or 48 and three quarters?
I'm 48 in 1 month.
Oh, okay. Okay, because the actual deadline for having love in your life is 48 and three quarters.
So I just wondered, you've still
got like 8 months left. So, I mean, chill, you know,
Yeah, I guess that helps because it feels, I guess I'm watching everyone else around me. And, I guess that sense of urgency, the last statement you said was like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking with a client this morning, and we were talking about how there's sort of simultaneously, we all have our separate realities, you know, the worlds we live in our head. And then we're all part of this bigger reality, this cosmic soup, this energetic God thing that just is. I don't know what to call it. I never have, and I may never. But there's this something bigger that we're all a part of that connects us.
Yes.
Now, when we spend most of our time, or even all of our time, the way most people go through life is they live 80-90% of their time in their separate reality. And then there's one or two or five people, usually it's a significant other, or sometimes it's a child or a friend or a family member, that somehow when we're with them, we get to experience ourselves as part of that bigger thing. And so we feel loved, we feel connected, we feel special. And because it's so rare in our lives, we attribute it to them. And so we go, well, they love me. I'm okay because they love me. But God forbid they ever stop loving me, because then I'll never feel this way again.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Now, fortunately, it doesn't actually work that way. Because that experience is always available. Because it's what we're made of. We're made of love. We're made of this stuff of the universe. We're all made of the same thing, which means that it's always present, but we haven't learned to presence it. We haven't learned that it's okay to feel that even when there's nobody to blame it on. Like, how can I feel loved when there's nobody for me to blame the feeling on? Where there's no one there for me to attribute it to?
Right.
So some of us look and we'll attribute it to God. We'll and I'm not saying anything about there isn't religion. I'm just talking about some of us will attribute it to this cosmic force, because at least then we can blame the cosmic force for loving us. And I'm using blame facetiously. I think I'm hoping that's apparent.
Yes, it's apparent.
But whatever we decide to attribute it to, that experience is not only always available, it's never more than one thought away. So I'm not saying that you're going to feel it in the next moment or that you're feeling it now, but maybe you are a little, just because we're talking about it, because we're presencing it. And I know for a fact that it doesn't really stop at 48 and a half or 48 and three quarters.
It just gets embarrassing, I think, after a while. But that's, again, I'm in my head, I guess. But
just a little.
Yeah, just a lot.
You know, and that's not where love is.
That, you know what? That's very true, Steve.
You know, that's
no,
like
that's a lot of bad things seem to reside lately.
You know, that's like being in the library and going, "Why can't I find any TV sets?" You know, or being in the sports bar and going, "Why aren't there any good dictionaries?" It's just that's not where they live.
No, but being human, and we are human, and I do understand the spiritual aspect of it for sure, and the one thought away certainly helps. But being human, you need. Well, for me, I'm just speaking for me, I guess. A physical body or touch, or just knowing that another human being knows
cares.
Who you are.
You know what? There's no more beautiful thing, and I will tell you, and you don't have to believe me, but I'm right. I will tell you that to the extent that you are able to connect to your nature, all our natures, you know, to that wider thing that we're just a part of, it will go from a craving to a desire. It will go from a need back to a want. And like I said at the beginning of the show, if there's something that can happen and you want it to happen, it usually does.
That's very true. From a need to a want. That's a better perspective. That's a better feeling, actually, than, as you say, when something becomes a craving where your life is going to be meaningless without it or purposeless.
Yeah, that would suck.
Yeah, that's what I've been feeling a lot. But again, having a path and a purpose, or just knowing that it can happen, then you just allow it.
And that it doesn't have to look like what you think it's going to look like.
That's true, too. Very good point. Very good point. See, magically.
Should we quit while we're ahead?
That's wonderful.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Bye.
Take care.
It's one of the most wonderful things to know, and one of the easiest things to doubt, that we are never really disconnected from the whole, that we are never really separate. We can experience ourselves as separate because we experience our thinking, and our thinking separates us. But to just know at some level that you can never be disconnected from what you are, that no matter how big a wave you are, you can never be separate from the ocean. There's something I find incredibly comforting in that. Let's go to Vienna, Virginia, and talk with Tara. Tara, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I'm so excited to talk to you. My desire is to be able to create artworks.
Okay.
I have, from the moment, from the earliest experiences I have, as long as I can remember, that has been my desire, and it's been a joy. I can't even talk, God.
You're doing fine. You're doing fine. So what is it that makes that sound sad instead of wonderful?
I don't know. I feel stuck. I feel stuck. It's like there's a fear.
Okay, so if you weren't stuck, like in order to feel stuck, there has to be somewhere that you're headed that you're not getting. So if you weren't stuck, how would you know? Like, what would you be doing? What would be happening that isn't happening now?
I would be sitting there in a studio, my art room somewhere, and painting and creating and, God.
So, like, as we're speaking, and it's not that I'm not paying attention, but as we're speaking, I'm drawing an elephant on a little notepad here.
Okay.
Now, it's not the world's best elephant, I gotta be honest, but he's kind of cute, and he seems happy. So I know, I just did that to see that I could do it in any moment, and that if I told you that you could do it in any moment, with or without a studio, I wouldn't be lying to you. So I just wanted to double check that for myself. So given that we know that if what you want is to create art, you can start doing that, then what's the thing that stops you from just doing that as much as you can where you are, as you move in the direction of having maybe like a place to do it and carving out even more time to do it?
I think my fear is of not being good enough, of being rejected, of others not approving of my artwork. I mean, I have, when I was in college, every time I there was a Jewish show and I entered artworks, I would always get accepted and sometimes get awards. And the couple of times that I put my artworks for sale, they sold very quickly. There is this thing that I cannot describe that keeps me.
Again, just help me clarify something.
Okay.
Do you do any art at all right now?
Well, yes, I do.
Okay, so it's not stopping you from doing any art. So I'm trying to still figure out not what stops you, but what it stops you from.
Okay.
So if it's not stopping you from doing art, what else is it that it feels like if this thing wasn't there, you would be able to do that you're not able to do right now?
What that thing is?
No, I don't care what the thing is. We'll figure that out if it's relevant later.
Okay, can you repeat that question?
Yeah, absolutely. What is it that you want to be doing that you're not doing right now because of that thing?
I'm not allowing myself. Maybe I'm not ready yet.
Okay, so it's okay if we don't get there, but I want you to know that you haven't answered my question yet. Okay, because my question isn't about what stops you. It isn't about it's what is it that if there was nothing stopping you that you would be doing, that you want to do, that you're not doing now?
I would be painting.
Okay, and now you said you were doing some. So would you just be painting more? Would you be painting differently?
Well, I haven't been. I'm not doing any painting. I'm doing other kinds of art, like mosaic.
So do you want to do a painting? I don't mean painting like as a lifestyle, but would you like to do a painting?
Yes.
Okay. So, and again, bear with me if this sounds a bit oversimplistic at first. Okay. Do you have any canvas?
Yes, I do. I have a ton of them in my closet.
Okay, great. Do you have paint?
Yes.
Okay, do you have any brushes?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so here's the deal, Tara. I'm going to put my elephant on Twitter after the show.
Okay.
Okay, Michael_Neil. You'll find it there. It's dedicated.
Michael_Neil,
N-E-I-L-L.
Neil. Okay.
I'm going to put the picture there. It's dedicated to you.
Thank you.
Okay, and then what I want you to do is I want you, when your picture's there, when you've done your painting, not become a painter, I just mean do a painting.
Okay.
And I guarantee you it will look better than the elephant I'm about to put on Twitter. Okay? I want you to email it to radio@supercoach.com, and I'm going to put that up on Twitter with your permission as well.
Can you hold on a second so I can write it down? I'm afraid I might forget.
That's okay. radio@supercoach.com.
Okay.
All right. We're going to compare drawings. Yours is going to be better. And then if you want to do another painting, you know what I would say to you then?
What?
Do another painting.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Thank you very much. I'll look out for the mail.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Do you know, we spend, as a culture, way too much time trying to deal with dragons that, as far as I can tell, don't really exist except in our own minds. But for our thinking, there would be no dragons. And rather than go deeper and deeper into our psychologies and psyches and try and find the source of these imaginary dragons, the moment that we see that they're just thought, we often don't need to do anything with them at all. Let's go to Huntington Beach, California. And let's speak with Nancy. Nancy, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
The reason I'm calling is because I work in the field of domestic violence, and my job as a monitor...
You prevent it rather than being a practitioner, I take it?
well said.
Thank you. I just wanted to make sure. I always like to clarify on this show.
Good point, yeah. And my job as a monitor is to supervise the visit between someone who has been accused of domestic violence and their child. Mm-hmm. And then I take the notes back to the court. I am supposed to be impartial, and I consider myself impartial. And lately, I've had, for the first time in years, one attorney who, after every week, reads the notes that I turn in dutifully as to how the visit went, and she rips them apart from one end to another, calls me, says how terribly I'm doing. And I've asked her this has gone on for 3 months, and I've asked her at each turn, do you feel another monitor would serve your client better? You know, I've got lots of work, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Lots and lots of clients and more in the queue.
Yeah.
And she never says anything. Just continues to have me be the monitor, and then writes these scathing letters. I was like, what? This is just like as close to insanity. I thought that the parents were a little crazy, but this attorney, what do I do, if anything?
Well, so from a purely practical point of view, could you just reassign yourself? In other words,
let somebody else and tell her pick another monitor? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, in other words, is it within the legality? I don't understand.
Yes,
the business.
It is.
Okay.
It is.
So then my question is, do you want to let this go, this particular case, or do you want to work through it? Cuz I can tell you that from an outside point of view, it's not a clear cut thing as to, you know, what's going to be best for the actual situation. But if something's not working and you're not enjoying it and you don't really want to do it and you don't have to do it, it sort of begs the question why you would continue to do it.
Because I do feel like when the children have had a monitor introduced, it's awkward at first, it takes a while, they've gotten mm-hmm. to know me, they've reached a given level of comfort, and to switch again and it just doesn't seem like it's in the best interest of the children. And the second part is, which is just as relevant, is we go to court in a couple of weeks, and then it'll be done.
Mm-hmm. Well, so given all that, given what you've just said to me, as best you can right now, what do you want to do about it?
I want to figure out what this person's motive is. It's like, why?
Okay, well, now hang on. Let me check that. Do you want to do that, or do you want to resolve the situation with them so that you can amicably move forward?
I'm sorry. I thought that by knowing what her real motive is, I could find the answer.
Right.
And that's
what gets in our way. No, because
okay. What
happens is we go for what we think will get us what we want instead of simply following our wanting.
Okay.
And when you just simplify it down and just go, I don't know how to do this clearly, or it would be done, but here's where I want to get to. That then your wisdom can kind of come through and guide you in that direction. When you've already chosen the path for it, often that's just not the path that's going to get you there with the least stress and angst and suffering.
Okay.
All right, Nancy.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. We are coming to the end of another wonderful show. My thanks to all of you who called in, and to Mitch and Joe in the studio for making it all work. You can check us out at supercoach.com, and be sure to check out our new retreat coming up in July, Learning How to Thrive. I will be back soon. Until then, have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk with you soon. Bye-bye for now.